Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
I'm too old for this shit.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
I know, right here, have a french fry.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
You know, don't thank me now.
With your hosts, Kim Stein.
Hey, look at that for you. Not bad for an old man.
Heartbreak Mike.
We're back. We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
The Omega.
God hates me. That's what it is.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey, man, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You listen to WTR Sunday nights with Samoa Joe.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday nights Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is, and I know because so am I. I'm Austin Aries.
And you expect me to trust these fucking bozos?
We're not too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, hey baby, come on.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. No, you didn't miss a pay-per-view. We're late.
You're late?
Rock, I meant to tell you.
The rabbit died.
Yeah, I'm late, Rock.
Aw, you and King Kins are having a baby.
Oh my God, I'm sure.
What they do on a Friday night. Oh, look at them. Are you going to name it Eva or Christian?
No. Saturday nights, Brent's the only one getting sent over.
Wow.
And Cheryl goes, Omega, when did this happen?
I was going to make a big deal out of it, but, you know. Anyway, until 9 months from now, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining us tonight, making his official debut in the third man seat, we have the one and only Heartbreak Mike.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here. I'm back. I'm black. Wait. Oh, okay. I'm here. What's up, guys? Good to be here. Yeah, that intro. I liked it.
Wait till next week.
Oh, Jesus.
Good God.
Oh, God. Scary Movie 4. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Hell no.
I value my IQ, Tim. Just saying.
We all do. We all do.
I'm glad you value my IQ.
I do. Honestly, at times, I do. Someone has to.
Right. And, of course, as always, leading this little herd of, well, I don't know what we are now that we've changed up a little bit. The one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a slightly later than normal edition on a non-pay-per-view night of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and live on your TuneIn app. And I would like to say thank you very much to my good friend, Graham Reaper, from Calgary's Best Rock, CJ92 FM, right here in Calgary. Listen to him online when you want to listen to Calgary's Best Rock and the afternoon drive time show. You'll hear Graham Reaper do his regular DJ announcing. But he actually re-recorded the main voiceover for us for our intros. So once again, thank you very much to Reaper. and check them out. They're online, cjay92.com. CJAY92.com.
God.
Yeah.
This technically means there's a professional working on the show.
We actually, yes. He's an actual real radio DJ, and he's a friend of mine. And funny story, the when we met, I'll just talk about it really quickly. Here in Canada, we've got a football league called the Canadian Football League, which is similar to the American, except it's different. That being said, my Calgary Stampeders were in the Grey Cup, which is the Canadian version of the Super Bowl. Back with the year that I met Graham, he was a nightclub disc jockey, and CJ92 was actually in the house for the Grey Cup game. The Stampeders won the Grey Cup. Yay, everybody's celebrating. Graham Reaper is there, and we're getting drunk together. Next thing I know, this guy is like 5'4". We're talking Danny DeVito. He's got like maybe 2 inches. He could eat an apple off Danny DeVito's head, but only barely. He gets into a fight with a guy 6'4" tall. Kicks the living shit out of this guy that's like, you know, twice his height, twice his size. It was absolutely amazing. All he did, he just kept throwing both fists into the guy's shoulders. The guy couldn't swing for his if his life depended on it. Kept throwing these punches into the guy's shoulders and then roundhoused him one. It was awesome. Of course, my doorman kicked him out of the bar immediately afterwards. But I've been friends with Graham Reaper ever since that incident. And I got in touch with him this past week. He said, hey, could you do me a large and I'll get you back? He says, yeah, no problem. Here you go. So that's how we got the intro.
Yay. Cool story, Tim.
One at a time, kids. One at a time, kids. Yeah.
So, it wouldn't be a live wrestling radio show without at least one story about a friendship that began with a bar fight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not trying to emulate a couple of people that we used to know, but you get the idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Wasn't even putting that connection until you mentioned it. Well, there you go.
Well, I didn't have that connection till Omega brought it up.
Damn it, Omega.
What?
Nothing.
Well, we're just blaming you again.
I don't have a hashtag.
There you go. Well, you know what? You need one. How come you don't have a hashtag? What the hell?
It's everything else gets blamed on everybody else.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, hashtag. Look. Wait a minute. I actually came up with a hashtag for you, and I can't remember what it was, Rock.
Okay. What are you looking at me for?
Because I told you once. We're going to do a hashtag blame Omega, and I can't remember what it was for.
Oh, I don't remember. It's hard to keep track of all the blame hashtag blames I already have.
Just look in the shit Tim sends me folder that you have on your computer.
It wasn't drawn in the sand, so it's not official.
Yeah, unless it's drawn in the sand, it's not official.
Calgary, there is no sand.
Well, every other blame one has been drawn in the sand just about, so, yeah.
Yeah, all right. You guys are driving me to drink already.
Right. That was, yeah, we're driving you. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So, I gotta apologize for the show being about 55 minutes late. It's, this time it was my fault, technically. 16 years ago tomorrow, I got a girl pregnant. Well, no, 16 years and 9 months ago tomorrow.
I got pregnant.
Yeah. That wasn't an accident. We actually planned on, we did that part on purpose. What happened afterwards wasn't exactly planned out. And it wasn't my fault. But, yeah, my son Owen, for those of you that do follow along and pay attention to shit I talk about, named indirectly after Owen Hart. His name is Owen James, my son. I just have the world's hardest time wrapping my head around this. He turns 16 tomorrow. So we treated him to the world's worst restaurant food we could find in the city.
Because that's what you do.
Make your kid eat rubber hamburgers.
Dare I ask where you went for this meal?
Restaurant called Humpty's.
That doesn't sound like a delicious place to go.
Foul.
Yeah.
That'll be the last time we go to a restaurant called Humpty's. Next time I take him up for dinner, I'm taking him to the Redwater Grill.
That at least sounds like a restaurant.
At least.
Yeah, it's a very, very high-end fine dining restaurant. We're talking like Michelin star. We're talking Gordon Ramsay levels of dining. The Redwater.
Come on, Humpty's family restaurant?
There are like 3 Redwater Grills in the city of Calgary. You'll notice that I ignored your jab. But, the last time I was there, I had the, buffalo ribeye. served just above Blue Rare, and it was worth every single penny of the $75 it cost me for that one dish. It was that good.
And if you're spending $75 on a dish, we know it must be good.
Yeah. Because we all know that Jewish people wish they were as cheap as me.
Oh, yeah, you are a cheap one.
Oh God, you know, I make the Jews look extravagant.
Yes, you do.
And
yes,
you really do. So,
but they at least enjoy the company that was there for the dinner, like the food.
Well, yeah, you know, I spent $50 in gas driving around today trying to save $10 on his birthday present.
I know.
Thank God for Google. On a telephone, even.
On a telephone. What?
So.
And every place you went had the same exact price.
So there you go. Yeah. Well, like I said, I found it 10 bucks cheaper, so that worked.
But anyway. In the end, it really wasn't cheaper.
So, well, I didn't literally drive all over the goddamn place. You drove enough. I drove more than I should have, so. Yeah. And apparently, according to certain people, I'm old. Thanks very much for that.
Are you talking about the person in the chat room?
No. Somebody who is talking to me on my mobile device instead of listening to us on the TuneIn app, which is free. Then you can download it onto your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen to us wherever you are on the go.
Okay. Yes, you can.
Oh, instead of that, I get texted, oh, you're old. I'm like, fuck off. I'm younger than you. I know she's listening. I know she heard that. I'm not telling you who it is. It's not who we were talking about earlier, Rock.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Someone called you old. Someone take a shot.
So, yeah, every time somebody calls Tim Stein old, you have to drink and get drunk. Not a shot. Half the bottle.
So, Tim, you're old.
No, I'm not that old. Get off my lawn, you son of a bitch.
So, person's dead now because I said old like 7 times. So...
I'll tell you who's old. My grandfather. Now, he's dead. That's pretty old.
That is pretty old.
So, yeah. Well, hey, he lived until
so this has been a brain-sheary conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's been something totally different. Yeah, we're going to actually talk wrestling. I think that might be why some people tune in.
They do tune in for that, but...
You know what? Before we talk wrestling, Omega,
We
got a new guy in the seat.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned that.
He did.
Yes, you did. You actually said it right at the top. He calls himself Heartbreak Mike.
Yes, that would be me. That would be me.
Yeah, well, now that you've taken over the third chair, it is temporarily the hot seat. Heartbreak Mike, we are going to ask you some questions. Consider this a mini interview. Why don't you tell us about yourself? Where do you live, Heartbreak Mike?
Well, I live in Washington, D.C., where...
Oh, thank God, another American.
Yes, I live in Washington, D.C., where Elsa does not know if she wants to have a one-night stand or stay in the district. Too much snow. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, my God, he's picked up on Tim's awful jokes.
I got bad news for you. Maybe another American, but he's got a worse sense of humor than I do.
Anyway, continue, Mike. Tell us more about yourself.
Well, where to begin?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to ask you a question. What the hell do you know about professional wrestling?
Considering the fact that I've loved professional wrestling ever since the Attitude Era, quite amazing. So ever since I enjoyed, what was the first time I watched Raw? It was, wow. It was actually the Raw after Over the Edge. And then after that, I just started loving professional wrestling. Mom didn't want me to, so she was like, don't watch that crap, don't watch it. It's not good for you, it's not gonna do anything for you. Push comes to shove, she liked WCW.
That was a mistake.
Yes, very much so. She was like, I was like, Mom, so you're telling me that you watch wrestling? Oh yeah, I like that Rey Mysterio. He's on WWE now. Oh, is he? Well, how do you know? Because I watch wrestling. Okay, well, you can go ahead and watch wrestling now. So...
Hey, wait, yeah. Is your mother black?
Yes, believe it or not, she is black.
Because she sounds like she is.
Yes, believe it or not, she is black. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am black as well.
What?
What? No. Yeah, diversity has finally struck and reared its ugly head on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, I didn't know this network had affirmative action.
We finally joined the 20th century. Equal rights!
Oh, no.
Mark Furman was wrong. No, don't even go there. Oh, my God.
Please don't.
There you go. So, okay, so you fell in love watching WWE because of Over the Edge. Ever have any involvement in professional wrestling?
Well, considering the fact that I have been at least involved semi, probably done a couple events here up here in Baltimore, and then people seen my footage, and then, believe it or not, people are like, you should come to this school, you should come to that school, or go to that school. Even though I was very tempted to go and take a nice little trip to Calgary and probably do some wrestling training there. And,
what is this, Mecca?
Hey, listen, if wrestling is good, I go. But other than that, I've kind of toned down a little bit, and wherever the opportunity takes me, hey, I'll probably try out Delaware or something.
So, you mentioned, you know, picking up right after Over the Edge in 1999. Odd place to pick up. Why'd you start then?
Well, I was a sheltered boy. I was a sheltered boy in Washington, D.C., where I couldn't afford wonderful luxuries such as cable television until then. And ever since after Over the Edge, I loved wrestling, professional wrestling, and I was like, cool. Little did I know, all I wanted to do was just be a commentator until I figured out what a German suplex was and taking bumps. And the rest was history.
Who hooked you in? What wrestlers hooked you in?
wow, believe it or not, Kevin Nash, Bradshaw, and Shawn Michaels.
Really? Shawn Michaels? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
He's not exactly a Bret Hart fan.
Well,
be a Bret Hart fan?
Well, you guys wouldn't be a Bret Hart fan because he's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, you know, where I live.
No, I was always on the side of Shawn Michaels, not Bret Hart. But anyway.
You're a dickhead.
Oh, get the fuck out of our ring.
Oh, Jesus.
It's my moment.
But, yeah, that's just suplexes and JBLs. Oh, and Kurt Angle.
Before he lost his hair, okay.
That was before he got his hair cut. So that's pretty much, those were some of my inspirations.
So is that pretty much Mike in a nutshell?
It's pretty much Mike in a nutshell. And the person that has converted me to indies wrestling, thank you so much, because now I can talk about most of these NXT superstars and these WWE superstars that came from the indie scenes. So that way I can talk about them, because everyone's like, well, who's AJ Styles and why is he doing this? Well, if you watch this video, if you watch this clip, maybe you'll get some information on who he is.
All right, before we stop the interview process, at least one person will pop for this question. What is your favorite The Rock movie?
Next question.
And what's your opinion on Roman Reigns?
Next question.
Okay, Omega. Omega, I guess he can stay because of that?
It's a familiar sentiment from the third chair. I can accept this.
Okay, yeah. We are looking for a little bit of familiarity without being overboard.
Now, I've asked questions. Tim's asked questions. Omega, do you have any questions?
Do you like long walks on the beach?
Well, yeah, I like long walks on the beach, fried chicken, cosplays, Sasha Banks when she's in cosplay, and if you're probably lucky enough, Athena.
All right, I have one more question.
Yes?
If I were a popsicle, what would you do?
Next question.
No.
Okay, careful. What you're doing right now is loading up quick hits.
Be prepared.
Mike, you understand quick hits, right? The thing that we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, I'm so scared. I give it to the poor.
No, the correct response. The correct response is, take off your wrapper, grab your sticks, and snap you against the counter until you break in half.
I'm not drunk enough for this.
Drink, bitch. Yeah, there you go. I think that we've gotten, we've heard enough from Mike. And what is it with the fake fucking British accent? Because you actually started talking like that. And I'm like, what is this? No, you're not an actor on The Walking Dead. Don't do that.
Well, I apologize. I'll be my No, I can't be myself. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, I can. Fuck that. Yeah, I'll be myself. It's cool.
Attaboy. Attaboy. All right. So, everybody, please welcome Heartbreak Mike to the webcast. He's not actually a webcast virgin, so we don't have to worry about that. He has done internet radio concerning wrestling before, just yes. In case anybody worried about that. Yeah. So, welcome aboard, Mike, and we'll see how you do.
And somewhere along the way, I have a commercial with him singing the 12 Days of WTR somewhere.
You're kidding.
Somewhere. I'll have to find it one week.
You gotta dig that one out. Just play it once for old time's sake, because that thing is like 10 years old.
Yeah. It's somewhere in the archive. I'll have to find it.
It's not 10 years old. It's just like 10 years
old. It's old. It's not.
It's probably like 5 at this point.
So that's like 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's at least 3/4 of the way there. Yeah, because it's 5 years.
But I think that's enough. Let's talk some wrestling, Tim.
I think that we should talk about Roman Reigns. You weren't here, Mike, when we brought this up before WrestleMania. Omega, unfortunately, you were. I'm not saying unfortunately you were here. I'm saying unfortunately for you. We posed a whole bunch of different scenarios and ideas of how they could make Roman Reigns at least acceptable, if not palatable, as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. My idea was to turn him heel and say I did it in spite of the fans, not because of the fans, because you keep booing me. Screw you guys. I don't know. He comes out the night after Raw and says, hey, I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy, but I am the guy.
We're just doing it Samoan pride.
Now, is this the right thing to do? That's the question, Omega.
It's kind of hard to tell because for once they didn't let those promos overplay themselves.
Which is a bit of a change from what they were doing, right?
Because he should be a guy of few words.
Yep.
Not only because it suits him as this, you know, walking powerhouse, it also suits his level of mic skills.
Which are next to non-existent. I'm sorry, Roman Reigns should not be talking on the mic. I mean, I get bored when Triple H gets on there. Never mind Roman.
That's because we've heard so much from Triple H.
Well, I'm bored with Triple H because he tries to sound pseudo, you know, he comes across as pseudo-intellectual as opposed to, you know, he's no Archie the Stomper Goldie when it comes to cutting a promo.
Stop hating on the Triple H movement.
No, there's no such thing. Shut up, Rock. You're not allowed to bring that up, remember? Just because Mike is here instead of the other guy, you're not allowed to bring it up. Right, Omega?
That's my personal boycott.
Yeah, and I'm in Omega's camp on this one. Mike, get on board. Or buy a ticket. Okay.
The thing with Roman, you're right. He doesn't need a mic. He doesn't need a mic at all. Because he was better off as the powerhouse. He needs a mouthpiece. And his own mouth isn't kind of helping him out at all. But the question is, who would be that mouthpiece for him if he was able to get one?
At this point in time, I don't know of anybody you could actually bring in. Because you can't use Paul Heyman. It just would not work.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. What do you think, Omega?
That is difficult. Because here's the thing. It's not just the fact that I don't know who you bring in as a mouthpiece for someone like that. There's no one you could put in as a mouthpiece that's going to compare to Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter how good they are. They're going to draw a comparison because Heyman is the guy on the mic. He is the manager right now in professional wrestling. I'm trying to think, like managers we've had in the past, I'm like, God, like anyone who's good would not fit Roman in the least.
Exactly.
And if you bring in someone from the past, say like a Jimmy Hart, just blindly first manager on the top of my head, people will be more attracted to the name Jimmy Hart back rather than concentrating on Roman Reigns.
Right.
It would have to be somebody current with the WWE, probably a former wrestler who's currently doing shit in the back. The question is, try to think of somebody.
You can't. That's the sad part.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
The only name I threw out there a few weeks ago on the rack, when I threw out the stable idea of, you know, putting the elite forces together with, you know, the best tag team of the Revivals, Charlotte, the best women's wrestler, and Roman Reigns, the best wrestler, male wrestler, would be Ric Flair as a mouthpiece. If you do a full horse with the stable. For Ric Flair to work, he would need to be stable. Just as a solo guy for Roman doesn't work.
But if that's the case, you might as well go back to the Shield.
Exactly. And you look up and down the roster, there aren't many people that you can go, okay, that's a good talker, that's a good talker, that wouldn't detract from Roman.
That's the trick.
I don't know of anybody that wouldn't detract from Roman. I don't know of anybody that would be there that can speak and is eloquent that would shine the light on Roman at this point in time. And the reason being is because of the reaction currently towards Roman.
Is it the reaction to Roman, or if you look up and down the roster, are people being taught how to talk properly? Like they were in the back in the day, like how a manager would hype someone.
Well, there it is. Back in the day, he said using the air quotes, because yes. Nobody can see me. I figured I'd let you know.
Mm-hmm.
People who were good managers, Bobby the Brain Heenan, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, Mr. Fuji. Well, Mr. Fuji didn't say a fuck of a lot, but all of these guys, none of them had anything scripted. It was all off the cuff and it was all improv. Now, wrestlers aren't the greatest of actors, but they are really good at improv, speaking off the cuff. Nowadays, you get all this scripted crap, and you can tell what's scripted and who's allowed to just have free reign. And it's like, okay, no, you can't do this anymore because we're scared you might say something that is not politically correct. And that, to me, is a huge problem.
It is a problem. It really is a problem. And you hope it's a trend they sort of break at some point. It's not going to break overnight, but it could be a trend that breaks at some point.
They seriously, if they're going to bring back managers and use them more often than we've seen recently. I mean, they don't even call Paul Heyman a manager. He's an advocate. We need more Paul Heymans. I mean, if you want a perfect classic example of modern day, say whatever it is you got to say and we'll be entertained. It's Paul E. Dangerously.
Mm.
Yes, people. Paul Heyman used to be known as Paul E. Dangerously.
Paul Dangerously, yeah.
This will show you how interested we are in talking about Roman as we've gone off on talking managers.
And you and you look around outside of the WWE universe, there are a couple in Ring of Honor, and I would say there's a couple in TNA, but there really isn't. You have Maria Kanellis as the only real manager in TNA off the top of my head. But you look around, it's a lost art, the idea of a manager, because the business has evolved to where they want the character, the wrestler, to talk for themselves.
For better or worse.
Well, oh Jesus, as much as this is gonna kill me when I say this, if some way this could happen, do you think he'd probably last with Cornette?
You don't need Cornette. Cornette's the wrong guy.
Cornette, first off, is the wrong guy. Secondly, no way in hell will you see Jim Cornette within 100 feet of anything to do with WWE unless he's making a video for YouTube where he's cursing out the bus. Tell me you guys saw that video where he's chasing...
Yes, it's a very old video.
It's a very old video, and it was part of an intro back in the day. You look around, and the manager art form is not where it needs to be. Now, going back to Roman, if you keep him short and to the point, like he was in the Shield, he will be okay. And you won't need a manager for him. Which is what they did on Monday, where it seemed like he was able to handle himself pretty okay, despite the crowd.
Give Roman the mic. Tell him, listen, you got 3 minutes. Keep it short. Don't talk too much.
I don't even give him 3 minutes. Give him 1 minute, state his case, and then fight.
Get out there, make your point, and fight. And that's it.
You have him, you know, do the old John Cena. You want some, come get some, but you change the verbiage. Someone comes out, Roman beats the crap out of them, and then he starts becoming dominant. And that's what you need Roman Reigns to do, is become dominant.
Well, we bitched about it for 2 years on this webcast. The one thing that they never did with Roman that caused him not to be as accepted as they want him to be, he never dominated. He'd go out and he'd try to put on an entertaining... Sure, there's a time when you want to have an entertaining wrestling match. There are other times when you're trying to make this guy look like the force you want him to be. You go out there and you let him squash his opponents. You let him beat the holy hell out of people like The Big Show.
Not have 15-minute matches with The Big Show.
Yeah, don't ever anybody have a 15... Not even Shawn Michaels. with the Big Show. Don't have that much, that long of a, you know, if you're fighting Big Show, the match should be over in less than 10. And with Roman, it should have been a case of, okay, you took the chop, you took this, you took the choke slam and got up. Don't sell it as much as you've been selling it. Get up and cripple and debilitate the big guy so people say, oh shit, you're tough.
Now, on this whole same point, and everyone, we're talking about how Roman Reigns should be dominant. He has an opponent coming up here in a few weeks in AJ Styles.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up, as a matter of fact, with Styles becoming the number one contender.
So it's sort of like, okay, on one hand, we want Roman Reigns to be dominant, and then the other hand, it's this internet crowd, Chris Jericho double the internet favorite, AJ Styles. He's now the number one contender. Now you're in a tricky spot, making Roman, hurting AJ, in some fans' minds.
Whether you like it or not, Roman is going to be booed out of the building against AJ Styles, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Omega, what do you see what do you see going on? We got like, what, 3 weeks before, whatchamacallit?
Whatchamacallit.
Payback.
Payback. That's it. That's what you call it.
May 1st.
I had Fastlane stuck in my head for some reason.
That was February.
Yeah. So it's like literally 3 weeks away tonight.
Yes.
Right? We've got Payback. Between now and Payback, what are you doing with Roman Reigns because he's fighting AJ Styles, Omega?
Because he's fighting AJ.
God, yeah.
God, it'd be hysterical if we, well, let's see, hang on. I was going to say it'd be hysterical for him to bulldoze through some former TNA talents, and all I can think is R-Truth off the top of my head.
They have one, they didn't call him up though. That Samoan guy, whatever his name is.
Oh, the Samoan guy and the other guy just got hired. But no, he's not really hired.
Not yet.
Even though he's on the bus.
The ink hasn't dried yet. The ink hasn't dried yet.
No. They're still filling the pen with ink.
Still filling the pen with ink, okay.
Yeah.
God. Well, reminders how antiquated WWE is sometimes. Look, it's pretty much the same. Like, I would build this up as, like, you have Roman and AJ have your matches on Raw every week, against other guys. Like, maybe AJ's beating better talent, but Roman's just bulldozing through his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make them both look good and wonder what kind of match it's actually going to be.
Yeah.
So you take the old school approach, keeping them apart and building them up till they actually collide at the pay-per-view.
I'm still in the mindset of they shouldn't touch each other until they're making people pay to see it happen.
That's a smart approach.
Then both of them are faces. So right now I'm trying to figure out.
Well, if you really think about Roman, is he really a face right now? Or is he more in the middle?
He's a corporate face.
Ew.
You approach it from that angle, Mike. He's a corporate face.
Well, then, honestly, it looks good on paper, but I just got to see how this is going to play out. It, like I said, looks good on paper.
How would you, if you had the book, how would you do it?
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. If I had did it, yeah, AJ Styles, number one contender. The finish, at the end of the match, Roman Reigns comes out and shakes his hand. And then next show, AJ Styles talking about, I've done such and such so far in WWE, and it's just an honor to be up here. I've worked so hard. And then here comes Roman Reigns talking about, you worked hard? Let me explain something to you. This isn't the Indies. This isn't such and such places. This is WWE. You're going to have to face the guy. You're not facing a good guy. You're not facing a bad guy. You're facing the guy.
Mm.
All promos. No touching.
But are
that's
you,
where I see it.
That's how, okay, that's for the verbal. But do you do anything physical with them in the
Probably middle? Not until probably the Raw before the show.
I'm not talking about having them touch. Do you have them competing in matches of some sort?
Pick your poison matches, probably.
What do you think, Tim?
All right, you want this thing booked leading up to Payback? This is exactly what you do. Roman comes out tomorrow night, and he cuts a very, very short promo. Mike had part of this right. He gets on the mic, says, yeah, all right, I'm not the good guy, I'm not the bad guy, I'm the guy. You're going to cheer for AJ Styles, that's fine. Remember this, AJ was big in Japan. AJ was big on the independent scene down, you know, around Florida. Really tiny, itty-bitty territories. This is the WWE. This is the big yard. This is the big pond. And I am currently the big fish. That's all he has to say. Then, you're going to have
the big dog.
Yeah. You're going to have AJ in a match that night. You're going to have Roman in a match that night. Here it is. What do you do? Who fights first? AJ. AJ comes out. He wins his match. Boom. Hits a Styles Clash on his opponent. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Let Roman walk out onto the stage and give the slow, sarcastic clap. Staring at AJ while he's clapping. No smile. Nothing. Just the slow clap while he stares at him and doesn't blink. There you go. You go to commercial. You come back. Main event. Roman Reigns is in his match. Match is over. Boom. Roman wins. Dun, 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 you know, with the music. Out comes AJ. Hang on. Out comes AJ. AJ doesn't clap. He comes walking very slowly to the ring. He gets up on the apron. He points at Roman, gives him the thumbs up. And just as he does that, he delivers the phenomenal forearm to Roman's opponent and stares Roman down as he walks back out. That's what you do tomorrow night. The following week, they confront each other. Not physically, not at the same time in the same room, but via a short little interview in the back with Renee. Let Roman say, I am the guy. If you want it, come and get it. Then an hour later, whatever, I don't care, an hour earlier, AJ, you know what? I'm the phenomenal one. Deal with it. And let AJ talk for a bit, because he's good on the mic.
Okay. Anything else to add on that one?
They do not, after tomorrow night, when they take turns in the ring, you know, saluting each other sarcastically for the victory, they do not stand in the same place at the same time until the Raw before payback. Then they get in each other's face. Still, like Omega says, they don't touch. It's the stare down.
Okay.
Now, that being said, Mike, let me ask you, that booking, what has that just done for you with this match?
It pretty much hypes it up. It kind of reminds me of, you probably remember, Tim, when it was Kurt Angle, when it was supposed to be Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it was just all mouth and words and everything where it's like, I'm sorry, but you're not going to beat me. I respect you, yada, 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 but I got this. I'm going to win.
Are you hyped for that match with my booking?
Yes, I am. I'm very hyped for it.
That's what I wanted to hear. Omega, what's your view?
I know. I'd still prefer the game of one-upsmanship.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You know, like, not that it's a great accomplishment to face them, but like, you have AJ come out for a match with Victor from the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, it's not a long match, you know, 6 or 7 minutes, you know, AJ goes over, Connor not happy about it, starts to storm the ring, Roman's music hits, he walks out, he's got a match with Connor right now. Okay. Bell rings. 2 minutes. Done. Just walks past AJ like it was absolutely nothing.
You're doing anything I can do. Anything you can do, I can do better. You're playing that game.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, you know, going off of WWE booking, that would then lead to Roman Reigns and AJ Styles taking on the Ascension the following week. That's WWE booking.
Yeah, that is WWE booking. It's like...
But hey, they can play it off, though.
Can they get along?
Find out.
Because they got a match.
I could see it now. The finish would be one of them, either AJ or Roman. Blind tag, goes for the finisher, 1, 2, 3.
I'll tell you right now, the last thing I want to see is these two guys teamed up in a tag match before their match. So, I'm sick of that. I'm tired of it. Stop it.
So tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, you know what you're gonna get. Yeah,
yeah.
Just because we don't want it.
Because we don't want it. But the idea, the general premise is you're trying to build each guy up, so when they do collide, oh hey look, they're both on a roll. They're both, you know, dominant. Who will come out on top? Makes the match interesting, doesn't it?
You make it a story of they both look dominant, but Roman looks like really dominant.
It's just a little bit better.
not even a little bit. Like, the example I have, like, you know, you have an even match between AJ and Victor, and then turn around, immediately have another match with Connor and Roman, and it's not even, you know, one-sided is an understatement.
Okay.
You know, it's a game of, well, AJ is dominant, AJ's been winning a lot, but look what Roman's doing right now. Like, how, well, what answer does he have for that? You make it a game of, we know he's good, but is he that good? Like, what, you know, what can he, you know, he can beat these guys, but what can he do to beat Roman? And I just kind of like the champions that are a little bit more, you know, apparently dominant rather than your, like your Seth Rollins title run, where it became more about how he could worm his way out of either being in the match or, you know, worming a cheap win out.
Well, what a champion that's strong and dominant. That's too much to ask for?
Apparently.
So, yeah, I mean, like, what can you do, right?
Exactly.
Just wait and see how they handle it tomorrow night. And, of course, you know, we're like armchair quarterbacks when it comes to, like, armchair booking when it comes to all of this stuff. Because, you know, oh, my idea is great. Use my idea. You didn't use my idea. You guys suck. Well, you know, just because they don't use an idea that you think is awesome, you have to remember, not everybody's going to think that your idea is awesome. And, you know, that's one thing that I have to keep remembering all the time when they do something that I think is really fucking stupid. Maybe I'm the only one. That being said, I think, you know, about an hour into the program, it's time for us to take our first break of the evening, kids.
It's fitting. The song we're going out to is called It's Probably Me.
There you go. Yeah. And, oh, you didn't. Nice. Very nice. Okay. You'll see WTR 7 8 Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere while we listen to the opener or the closer for Lethal Weapon 4.
You wake the morning in a stranger's coat with no one would you see. You ask yourself, who'd watch for me? My only friend, who could it be? It's hard to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. When your belly's empty.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Said it. Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet, yes, yes. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm gonna say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, no, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong pop them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl trick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
when you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were poor and poor. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait. Down. I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh, my.
Bo, please.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, thank you very much to PW Mania for affiliation with the Wild Talk Radio Network for our live programming. Yeah, check them out for all your news and views, www.pwmania.com. Boy, that sounded like good almost. Professional.
What? Nothing.
What?
Nothing. Let's go. Continue on wrestling. People are here for the wrestle talk.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, people are here for us talking. They don't care what we talk about as long as we're entertaining. And we talk about wrestling. Speaking of which, Shane McMahon last Monday night came out to say thank you to the crowd. You still got it. You still got it.
I don't think tendency to jump 20 feet to your death is something you should still have.
Yeah, especially when you're 45.
Six. And your kids are in the front row.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, his kids were actually taken to the back before that happened, so they didn't see it.
Oh, thank God.
What?
God.
Did you guys not know that? Yeah, they came out and did the dance with Daddy Shane, Shane O'Mac, you know, and they watched the first, like, 5 minutes of the match, and then they were escorted to the back through the gorilla position.
Good, because we could have some creepy stalker fans zooming in on them with a camera when they chant bullshit at the NXT show. Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait, they did that. Yeah.
That happened, actually.
That's stalkerish. Can we not do that? Okay, cool.
Bit of a different story. But at least this way they avoided the incident with little Dominic Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. You guys remember that.
Oh, boy.
If you don't, we'll have an announcement later about that.
Yeah, Dominic on a pole match?
We'll talk about that later.
That's coming up, kids. Why? You'll find out.
You will find out.
Oh, hell yeah. Anyway, so he comes out, he says, thanks, goodbye. Vince is like, oh, wait, you know what? The hell with it. You run Raw. Storyline-wise, let's just pretend that actually happened, and let's all gush over how good a job Shane did running Raw last Monday night, Omega.
Did he?
Did he do a good job? Storyline-wise? Kayfabe.
I couldn't tell.
It just felt like the same old to you?
It felt like same old, like, you know, like, okay, like, they tried to make up for WrestleMania a little bit. Some guys got their wins back, which you can't really get back losses from WrestleMania, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, the shit that heels got away with is still like stuff that Triple H would let him get away with all the time. Yep. And yeah, I didn't really get any vibe that told me, hey, someone else is running the show other than I didn't have to listen to a 20-minute authority promo, which, don't get me wrong, I'm grateful.
Yeah, I missed my nap.
No, don't worry. I'm sure you have plenty.
So I want to drop a stat on you guys, and you talk about Omega brought up how about WrestleMania and how people got their wins back. So this is a stat that's been floating out there. If you go back and look at the last 4 WrestleManias, and the person who lost the second match on the show ends up getting the WWE Championship match or World Championship match the next month. If you lose the second match of WrestleMania, you get a world title match the next month.
Okay, that's weird.
That's just one of those strange, only you would think of that type of stats.
The streak continues.
I only thought about it's like, because everyone's complaining, oh my god, about, you know, AJ Styles and losing and then Chris Jericho, yada yada yada.
It's fine, he's number one contender.
Yeah, he's now the number one contender. It's fine. But back then, at least AJ earned it. Remember when Ryback lost to Mark Henry and then just somehow had a 3-month feud for the title?
Figure out how the hell that happened.
Right.
Not even on Cena.
Yeah, that was, you know. But yeah, it was a stat I wanted to mention earlier, but I forgot. But Mega bringing up getting the wins back reminded me of that stat. 4 WrestleManias in a row. It's a thing.
Wow.
It's an unusual thing, but it's a thing.
It's a thing.
But going back to Omega's point, the authority is no longer there. You don't get the 20-minute promo. Could lead to a different vibe going forward, wouldn't you think?
Hopefully. Like, I wouldn't mind the days coming back where, like, an actual babyface in charge meant heels didn't get away with shit all the time. Like, that's why I really kind of got fed up with the way things were running under Triple H, because it was all heel all the time. It was, the bad guys felt more important on the show. You know, aside from the fact that, you know, a heel held the championship for so damn long.
Mm-hmm.
But it always felt like, you know, heels got their way and there was no authority figure to come out and say, okay, that shit doesn't cut it on my watch. You know, restart the match or, you know, or reverse the decision, whatever it ended up being. You know, I believe we've got an example coming up later in the run sheet that is a prime example. It's like, you know, and they could write that, you know. Okay, I'm not happy with how things went down, so we're going to do this again, and this time, yeah, that shit is not going to happen.
Okay.
I would like, after, like, literally years of Triple H running things and heels being the absolute center of everything in the WWE. I'd like a few to get their comeuppance. I'd just like the playing field to be leveled for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I want my heroes to win.
Even if it's the hero you don't desire to be your hero?
Not that hero. He's not my hero.
But he will be everyone else's hero.
No, he won't.
But if he's not, then you're stuck with the same heel champion. just saying.
Oh my god.
To get the story you want, you have to believe that.
Please, for everything pure and holy.
I have such a headache right now. Right in the middle of my head. So, Mace, you were right.
Oh god.
So, Mike, what was your take of Shane O'Mac on Raw?
Kayfabe-wise? Best thing in the world. Yay, Shane McMahon finally taken over. So what is he about to do? He always does surprises. NXT is up. Oh, my God. Is that Apollo Crews? Black Power. Is that... Yes, it is. Oh, my gosh. Baron Corbin? My man. And then, soft. And then, next thing you know... The main event. That kind of threw me off. Yes, main event. Cool. But wait. When they said, by order of Shane McMahon. I was like, okay, who is it? It can be only anybody. Me, I'm thinking, it's somebody from NXT. Lo and behold, Cesaro. I said, Cesaro may be the one. And I was like, alright, cool, Cesaro's got it. Cool, yes, he's gonna win. Then I was like, AJ Styles? Okay. Not mad at that. I mean, either or, it was amazing for him to run Monday Night Raw. And then Muddy showed up. And then I was like, well played, Shane. Well played.
Okay, Tim?
I can't get past the fact that, oh, Shane McMahon isn't really running Raw. This is how they scripted it. And they just wrote it like it would have been any other Raw.
Okay, so if you have the booking pen, Tim, going back to the whole booking theory, Shane McMahon running Monday Night Raw.
Always coming to me for the book, for Christ's sakes.
Everyone does.
That's because I'm so fucking good.
I won't go that far.
I don't recall asking you. Anyway.
If you had the book, how would you...
Shirts, bitch.
How would you... handle the situation with Shane? How would you change things from the norm?
Well, that's just it. It's first off, it's perception. Perception is reality, and it's been like that forever, and it will continue to be so. Perception versus reality. Perception is reality.
Right.
The casual observer last night, you know, the people who aren't the internet fans, who aren't called the smart marks. The people who aren't part of what we term the internet wrestling community are going to believe that Shane McMahon is actually running Raw. Those are the people that you're trying to satisfy, because those people, okay, they're not the hardcore group, but they're the people, the majority of the people who might tune in to see what's going on. And if you can draw them in to stay, you've got them.
Right.
Therefore, your ratings are, that sells ad space for your commercials and increases the buy rate.
Right.
For commercial airtime. Now, of course, you know, with me coming out with all this, with the background that I have and everything, why change things radically, so very radically?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, because the majority of people that you want to attract, because let's face it, the hardcores are going to watch whether they like it, or they got something to bitch about, or they're looking for something to bitch about, are still going to watch it.
Right.
I'm canceling my WWE Network subscription next week. No, you're not. And if you do, you'll sign up in a couple of months because you want to watch that pay-per-view for free. Whatever. You're not going anywhere, no matter how much you bitch and complain about it. You are not the main focus for the WWE, and bitch at me if you want, I agree with them. Somebody doing an internet wrestling podcast actually agreeing with something the WWE is doing.
What?
Yeah, seriously. I do. And part of that is because, hey, dude, I run wrestling shows. I've booked, and I'm not trying to please the 5 or 10 people that always nitpick. I'm trying to please the 255 other people who have decided to spend their money to see what's going on. And maybe, well, okay, I might come back to the next show. The whole idea is to get that casual person to come back to the next show. And that's what I'm booking for. Sure, I have offered different ideas for running a show, for entertaining the crowd. The thing is, and I catch hell from people who don't know any better. My mantra, and it was taught to me by certain members of certain wrestling family that was very, very successful for several decades. And reiterated by Vince McMahon himself, you never give the fans what they want. Now, that being said, I've had idiots call me on that and say, well, then why bother tuning in if I can't get something that's going to be entertaining? That's not what I said. I have to come up with something to make you pissed off enough in just the right way to spend that $15, that $20, whatever is being charged for whatever show, come back to the next show. Spend that money again and hope that finally you get what you want and you get the chance to cheer wild. You know, with Canadian All Pro Wrestling, the guy that had the Commonwealth title, former TNA superstar, held my Commonwealth title for a year before he finally got beat. Mm-hmm. And when it finally happened, we actually turned the number one contender from a fan favorite to a heel at the end of one of the shows. He beat the living, he snapped. That was the entire thing. He is frustrated and fed up with continually being screwed, and he snapped. But here's the thing. He healed out, and the crowd ate it up. Why? Because he was finally getting a chance to do what's been done to him for so long that he couldn't take it anymore. The fans couldn't take it anymore. Then, boom, out comes the chair after a screw job finish. Boom, boom, boom. Look at that. The champ is cut open. He's bleeding all over the place. My God, we got to get people out from the back to break the two of them up. He's livid. Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, my God. Oh. And then the biggest show ever was the show where the title finally changed hands. And the number one contender, going back to babyface, did it cleanly. He did it like a babyface. The entire year, we had him get screwed over one way or the other until finally he snapped. And then, in a gimmick match, granted, he still went over cleanly when he finally went over. And it blew the roof off the building. When I say never give the fans what they want, that means do not give them a reason to be all happy and cheer every single show, because eventually they're not going to come back to get their payback. Mm-hmm. Vicariously. Mike, you know what I'm talking about. We went through this. You and I had a little, and I do believe I got a big ass thank you from you for saying that.
Yes.
That was actually in that column that I wrote, in case you missed it. Yeah, Omega. Huh? But Omega, you know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going when I say that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And as much as we want certain people to be a champion as opposed to somebody else, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a situation 7 times out of 10 where you find the right guy to be the wrong guy at the right time. Does that make sense?
To me, it does.
For me personally, I think Roman Reigns is the wrong guy to be the wrong guy at the right time.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. He is the wrong guy. But the question is, as of right now, well, that's going to put a foot in my mouth, but
say it.
Who is the right guy?
You don't have one.
That's the problem. Omega nailed
it. That's the big problem.
They spent 2 years trying to get Roman Reigns over and failed horribly to the point where they finally went, you know, we got to do it no matter what, because we've been holding up everything else on our entire product, trying to wait for Roman to be over. It's not happening, so let's just put the belt on him, see what happens, and if it flops, and we try something else.
But if you like this, if and I was just having a discussion about this yesterday, if Triple H and NXT can pull a card out of their ass by probably just sitting on the crapper, wiping their ass with the paper, and sitting here like, here's the card. And if it looks better than the main show, that is a big problem. Not to mention, you have superstars in NXT currently that can be the guy. But the thing of it is, once they go to the main roster, they're not.
Right now, WWE is just, a lot of the guys that they're booking right now fall into like Tim's category of, well, you're going to tune in to see if they can finally win it this time. But, you know, you're talking about guys like Dolph Ziggler, who was white hot at one time.
And then all it took was a kick to the head.
Yeah. And they didn't give him another chance after that. It's not his fault that Del Rio hit a stiff kick on him, you know. You see it again. You see it now with Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is red hot with that crowd. And it's hard to have faith in Dean because he loses all the big matches. Like, you want to see him win, but how many times can you see a hero lose before you have no faith that they are actually going to be your hero when it counts? You know, you look at Dolph Ziggler, for as white hot as he was, for as ready as the crowd was for him to carry a belt, I don't think you can make a credible champion out of Ziggler now because they have squandered it so badly. He's probably got more losses than wins in the last year.
This year, yeah.
You know, you can't have that. You know, eventually, you know, the good guy has to come out on top. You know, eventually he has to look like he could win the day. You know,
but
you
see,
don't.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like, you know, you see any comic book hero, you know, and of course they lose fights from time to time. You know, that's how you make your villains threatening, but the hero, more often than not, can come out on top.
And that's the idea about this perception of Shane. He gives the hero a chance.
And that's what I want. We've seen that in NXT. You know, the champions were faces.
The challengers were heels.
And it worked. Like that run where Balor and Bayley both had the championships was an amazing run.
Yeah.
It's because everything on there was so upbeat and you felt like everything had this great energy to it. You know, and I'm sure Asuka is going to do that division proud, but you can tell, like, it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the audience does want to see, you know, they want to see good people who are good in the ring and who aren't detestable pricks actually succeed.
They want good to overcome evil. But at the same time, right. WWE hasn't, on the main roster, hasn't done a good enough job building up the heel for the babyface to overcome, for it to mean something. Because the only heel they've had is the Authority. And now that's gone, they have to make those heels important.
Like,
at the same time.
WWE has good heels. They just got crappy babyfaces.
Do they have good heels?
Well, they've had good potential heels.
That's the key word. They have potential good heels.
Well, see, the main WWE, the main roster, to me, it's just, they've really dropped the ball for Raw and SmackDown ever since 2005. Like, it really went downhill. And I get it that, ooh, yay, Shane McMahon. I'm so happy. But in the end, it's like, how long is it going to last? It's like, yes, we got it. Shane McMahon is running Raw next week. Dr. Phil, y'all.
Well, that's never going to change because that's promotional. That will never go away.
That's true.
But the idea is, you know, you talk about the potential of what we have in heels, and there are people who could be strong. But now that the Authority, the main heel, is gone, you can actually give guys like Kevin Owens, the Wyatt family, et cetera, the chance to be that heel. So they can be the focal point. And that's what I think the idea is. Shane's the guy in charge, but now you gotta take the spotlight off the McMahons and put it back on the talent. Right?
That's true. Okay.
So it's sort of like, that's where we have to go with this. We got rid of one enemy, now we have to build everyone up so that they're the focal point. And I think Shane being there hopefully will allow that to happen. Because I don't expect him to be all over TV. He'll be Mick Foley when he was commissioner. I think that's the best way to put it. And I think
less
that's
hairy.
Less hairy. As risk-taking, but just less hairy. Actually, when Foley became commissioner, he did shave his head off, but hair off.
Shaved his head off?
Shaved his hair off.
That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
He's right? Definitely hardcore. But I think that's where we're going. He'll be the guy who steps in, but the show is not built around him. It's about built around the new talent, which I think we should talk about when we come back from break, Tim.
Oh, what? New talent?
New talent.
Oh, we could talk about new talent. Are you telling me it's time to take a break?
I think we should take a little break and come back, talk a little about the new talent that Mike sort of mentioned, but get deeper into it.
We could possibly do that.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, all right, I'll take this commercial. Everybody, you're listening to WTR tonight. Let's talk radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're not quite done yet, but we're getting there. Eventually, we'll be finished. Just hang with us until that happens. That being said, it's time for you to empty your bladders, go get yourselves a cold one, put the popcorn in the microwave, whatever it is. But come on back, because we'll be back in a couple minutes. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
When you lose your love, and it makes your life turn cold.
Oh, don't face down. I like that song.
When love's alive, it sets you free. When it's gone, it's plain to see how.
All right, officially welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on a Lethal Weapon Sunday. What the fuck is going on? Yeah, the brand spanking new intro was done to Lethal Weapon, and Rock just decided, nah, screw it, let's grab all of the songs from all of the Lethal Weapon movies and play that for the breaks.
Because I had no other ideas.
And the entire night was basically predicated around one line in Lethal Weapon 2. We're back, we're bad. You're black, I'm mad.
And there you have it.
And that's,
we're creative.
That's just because, you know, Mike joined the cast, and I'm like, what are we going to do? Ah, fuck it, let's do this.
There's nothing else about him we could accentuate.
I wanted to give him at least one full show before we go full-blown racist on him.
Next week has to be British because he likes to talk British.
Well, I can stick with the Django. That'll work.
Not the Django. Come on, it's Django. The D is silent.
Okay, I'm sorry. Django.
There you go.
Anyway, welcome back to wrestling.
Yeah, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You have to say everything like that for the rest of the show.
I don't think I could, even I could keep that up. Hey, Mike, you were talking about NXT's invasion of the WWE.
I was indeed.
Well, for those. But before you continue on, Omega, let's say that we join Mike in discussion about the NXT invasion of the WWE.
I don't think you can call it an NXT invasion because nobody got choked out with a tie.
He's got a point, Mike.
He does.
Let's just call it the call up.
Is it really a call up then?
There you go. Well, let's see. Who have we seen? Including WrestleMania. Come on. So far we've got Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, Enzo and Cass. Yay! Not that I'm a fan of Enzo and Cass, but yay! The VOD villains, they all made their, WWE debut in the last, week and a half.
Yeah. It was.
And Bayley made an audio debut.
Apparently so. Twice too.
She did? I missed it. What happened? Well,
It was the women's segment where they were officially giving Charlotte the new women's championship, and you have every single woman on the roster out there. You have Eva, who's now apparently back on main roster. Why, God, why? And in spite of all this, you've got, like, cause you got Sasha there, you got Charlotte there, you got Becky there.
Salty Paige.
You got good women wrestlers and then Eva.
All they want is Bayley. The entire post-WrestleMania crowd was doing every Bayley chant that you've heard in the last three or four takeovers.
Yeah.
But, Omega, don't you worry. Eve will be back in NXT this Wednesday when she faces Asuka. Don't you worry. She'll be back.
I'll alert Brent.
Well, hey, wait a minute. Bayley losing the title, does that mean she's going to be the next one coming up?
She's got, well, okay, we discussed this already. I believe, Rock, we discussed this on the rack.
Yeah, Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, I think she's got a rematch with Asuka. Mm-hmm. I think she's still got one more takeover in her. Aside from that, I think the women's roster in NXT could use a little bit more new blood before Bayley leaves it in Asuka's hands. You know, I think there's just a few more that needs just a little bit more seasoning, a few more talents need to come in before that roster can do without her.
Before we get handed over to Nia Jax, Asuka, Dana Brooke, Carmella, and the like.
Nia Jax just makes me shudder.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just not.
Probably because she's gigantic.
I don't mean shudder like that. I mean, like, she just... she's never leaving NXT, first off. She's just, I'm not impressed.
Okay. She's relatively new. Let's give her some credit here.
Yeah.
You know, Bayley didn't start out great either.
But even though Bayley didn't start out great, you saw that flash that everybody who's got a piece of whatever it is, you saw flashes of that with Bayley right from the outset. I haven't felt that with Nia.
No, not at all.
See, I would disagree. I think she actually has the potential to be something over time.
Over time. And that was kind of the reason why I liked how Bayley Sasha Banks, all of them starting from scratch, literally starting from scratch and making it up to the top. That was actually what I like. And Tim, you can relate to this. Seeing talent trying to find themselves, it's very hard and it takes time. And I believe that they took that time and made a name for themselves. And that is what Nia Jax has to do. Nia Jax has to work. Asuka made a name for herself. She made a name for herself in Japan. That's all you need to know.
Asuka was a name before she came over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, she came from nowhere. How old is Nia Jax?
She's 22, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she was a plus-size model for a while before she got talked into trying out wrestling. She's very new to the business.
She's 31 years old.
She's 31?
Yep. Yes. 31. She's not. God. See, this is one of the strikes against her right there. She's a newbie at 31. The only person I've seen who actually went someplace after becoming a professional wrestler after a certain age and be like supremely successful, Diamond Dallas Page.
Now, what plays into her favor? She is the cousin of The Rock.
Isn't everybody?
Everybody from Samoa is Rock's cousin. Come on.
Yeah.
That is one inbred island.
But she has the bloodline, so she will get the chance.
Eventually.
She's been there since 2014, and she's sort of working her way through. She made a debut not even a year ago. She's improving. Every time you see her, she improves. I don't know how we got onto Nia Jax and this whole topic. Because she didn't debut.
Because I tried to make a joke about Bayley debuting in audio.
Yeah, we had
it just kind of gone on why Bayley's not coming to the main roster yet.
Yeah.
And then I talked about the women's roster in NXT and how it needs to be filled out a little bit before they bring Bayley up.
So
you can tell just like how focused we are. Squirrel?
Huh? What?
Is that a nut? Is that a shiny object? What?
Oops, candy.
So, Tim rattled off a bunch of guys who showed up this past week on Raw and SmackDown.
Ooh, look at the kitty.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking about kitties, who had the best debut?
Thank you, Tim.
Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, Enzo and Cass, or the Vaudevillains?
Cass. Enzo.
Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, I
not even close.
Like that this is anything but unanimous. I loved it.
Okay. God, this is the modern New Age Outlaws.
Dude, Enzo broke up Bubba Dudley with this promo. Bubba Dudley broke character and started laughing. He was so good.
That was amazing. I was worried that shtick was not going to fly on the main roster. If that's any indication, oh my God.
Are you kidding? The crowd ate it up. I mean, I was eating it up. I was digging it.
Oh, it's a post-WrestleMania crowd, so it's going to be hot no matter what.
Well,
it's what they do after they get out there and they start doing what they do. You know? Because, like, okay, well, you can pop for Baron Corbin because he's making his Raw roster debut. If he sucked in his match, that was a crowd that was going to let you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my God. The promo he delivered, that's going to tell the next audience all they need to know about Enzo and Cass.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Now,
so, hands down, there is no great debate on this one at all.
No, we're not allowed to do the great debate anymore. Remember that? You killed that.
Don't be a smartass, smartass.
Okay, best debut, you guys all agree, is Enzo and Kaz.
Yeah.
But who has the best chance to succeed long-term?
Baron Corbin along with Enzo and Kaz. Enzo and Kaz, okay, you know, long-term. They're going to be around for a while, but are they going to – they're going to be – they're like the flavor of the month. Right now, you're popping like crazy for them. I am eventually – it's going to wind up being the same thing because that's their gimmick currently. That's their shtick. That's what they do. And it's going to wind up being like your favorite flavor of ice cream. You're always going to come back to it. But, oh, look, this is something. Let's try this. Oh, now we can go back to the – oh, look, here's another new one. Then you're going to go back to your old flavor. That's Enzo and Cass. They're going to be an anchor, a mainstay, a stable staple, if you will.
Jesus, when you put it that way.
What are you talking about, Mike? Elaborate.
Well, when you that's because you said Staples stable. When you put it that way, it is kind of 100% accurate.
Does that make sense to you?
It's like these guys aren't going anywhere. These guys, because like the chemistry, just themselves, that's rare, honestly, nowadays. And for them too, it's like if you break them up, you riot.
This, like, I compare him to the New Age Outlaws, right?
Yes.
Because you got a powerhouse guy, and then you've got this incredible mic worker, and the two of them just mesh so well.
That
like, promo wise, in ring wise.
Yeah.
Mike's right. Like, if you broke these two up, neither one's going anywhere.
We're talking one night only levels of If Cena Wins, We Riot.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see those two apart.
Yeah.
Which is weird because as the tag teams go, there are nothing alike.
What's the first thing we said to each other, Rock, about Enzo and Cass?
You tell me, Tim.
We compared them to the New Age Outlaws.
Oh, I've been saying that for months now that that's who they were. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this is like the first time you and I actually had. When they debuted last week, that was the first time you and I personally had any in-depth convo on them.
Oh yeah. That's who they are. You have the talker and you have the powerhouse, as Omega pointed out. That's who they are.
That's exactly where we went. So yeah, you know, they're going to be a stable staple. As far as who's going to, succeed, I'm going to put it down between Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. With Baron Corbin just edging out Apollo. What do you think, Omega?
I have never seen enough out of Baron Corbin to convince me of that. Like, okay. I don't know. Like, he's been improving.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. You know, he's been improving in NXT. To be fair, he's probably grown as much as he could there, but there's always been something about him that just did not convince me. Like, he's going for this lone wolf, you know, biker gimmick thing. You know, Sons of Anarchy guy. But his look for it is just off. And I've never really been able to buy into it as a persona.
You talk about how he has only grown, he's grown as far as he could down in NXT. They've always stopped his progression just a little bit. Because every time he would get in a ring with somebody and have a decent match, he'd go back to squashing people, and it sort of, to me, stunted his growth. And I hope his growth doesn't get stunted on the main roster, sort of like The Ascension, who for a while just did squash matches before they came up, and really could never show what they could do.
Yeah, well, he's not going to get any squash matches. Like, this is going to be trial by fire. Let's see how well he can actually perform on a consistent basis.
Who would be the right opponent for him? Is Ziggler that guy?
Ziggler's not bad, because Ziggler can make anyone look good. I think at some point Dean Ambrose is going to be a good opponent for him.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose would be an excellent opponent for him. Down the road.
Down the road. Like, that's something to build to.
Yep.
For Baron, is it bad that I really think that him and Roman just need to, like, personality-wise and character-wise, they need to switch places? Baron doesn't do anything. Like, his entrance...
That is weird. Okay, when you put it that way, that is weird, because Baron Corbin is booked the way Roman should have been booked.
Thank you!
Exactly.
That is bizarre. That's a very valid point.
Like, how do you do that ass backwards? And it's like, as I'm looking at it, I'm looking at his entrance, and I'm like, Roman should have this. And I'm looking at, like, the whole gear, the gimmick. He doesn't say anything. Like, this is what should have been post-Shield. And I'm like...
I think that's one of the biggest things, I think, that always held Roman back, is that he's still the Shield guy. Same music. They just now stopped the crowd entrance. Mostly because the crowd would probably stab him at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, personally, I think... Honestly, I think Cruz has a better future. Like... I don't think he spent as long in NXT as he should have. I would have liked to have seen a stronger feud out of his time there before bringing him up.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest feud he had before they brought him up?
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin.
Kinda.
It was Tyler Breeze and then Baron Corbin. That's who he feuded with. He sort of feuded with Finn, but it really wasn't.
Sort of, but it's just like, it was a feud in, hey, I want to see if I can wrestle you. Because it wasn't for a title.
And no, he first got the title shot, and that was interrupted by Joe and Corbin, and then he wanted to see if he could do it. And it was sort of two matches, but it wasn't really a feud. You had Corbin and Cruz, along with Breeze, before Breeze got called up.
Yeah. Because Apollo Crews has so much going for him as far as athletic talent. Like, he's a gigantic guy, but he does have that agility. It's not just like a quick little backflip trick he does every now and then. You know, potentially, he has so much to offer as a performer. Like, as far as giving, like, the internet crowd, you know, cause it's Uta Nation. So,
yeah.
You know, you get the internet crowd going because it's one of their guys. But he still has the size McMahon likes. So this, you have the potential to be a best of both worlds with this guy.
So it's safe to say everyone is not sure the Vaughn villains are going to make it on the main roster.
Oh my God.
Well, okay.
I'm shocked that they tried that gimmick on national television.
Yeah, you know, it's party time all the time. And this is what I get from the Vaughn villains. Great for NXT. Not quite fitting the main roster.
Do they have the talent to be up there? Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. But the gimmick-wise, no.
The gimmick is just... Yeah, it's too out there. Yeah. It's too out there. It's too avant-garde.
It fucked up Adam Rose. It's going to fuck these guys up.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it's... to me, if it's, like, if it's over in NXT, it's a toss-up if it'll be over on the main roster.
It's a difference between, like, NXT works a small crowd, so the energy travels much easier through it. Whereas, you know, so a small pocket of people getting into something like Adam Rose's entrance, for instance, travels a lot better. You know, you know, and you have more like a, like a little more personable thing going on in the audience. But in a big crowd, those pockets of people enjoying that just get dispersed. You know, and it's not like like a small NXT crowd where, you know, we've got enough room for the people who are really interested in seeing it. We've got, you know, in a big crowd, you got all these people here. We're here to, you know, we're here to see, you know, whoever. We're here to see, you know, we're here for Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho, and that's it. We're here for AJ Styles, and that's it. So that energy just goes away. Just dissipates in the crowd.
Late 90s, early 2000s, you were going to a WWE event because of everybody on the roster.
Not just a specific person, exactly.
Nowadays, it's exactly the reverse. You're there for one person only.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's like, what'd you come in here for? Like, even for John Cena. What'd you come in here for? I came in for AJ Styles. What'd you come in here for? Roman Reigns. Get out.
Whoa. Bullshit. Nobody goes there for Roman Reigns.
That's a lie. A lot of people do.
Who are you?
Shut
up. Who are you here for? Dean Ambrose. Who are you here for? AJ Styles. Who are you here for? Roman Reigns. Oh, hello, Mr. McMahon. How are you?
There you go. Okay, I'll accept that answer, Alex.
So, is one person, Omega, you're here to see, or you would go see, is the new Intercontinental Champion, The Miz.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
I was waiting for that. Oh, now, are you mad at The Miz because he won the title? Or are you
mad? I'm mad at the cunt he's married to.
Are you mad at The Miz because of the bitch that he's married to? Now, why don't you like Maurice? Aside from the fact she's
from the fact she's another one of those models. We just got rid of the Divas division. She's one of those damn models we hired in and tried to train to be a wrestler, and she was horrible. She had nothing to her but an accent. That was her character.
Her accent and her ass. I've seen the pictures, man.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's The Miz. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're, like, you look at that, like, Rock, like, we got to looking up stats thanks to Tyler Breeze and, like, a Gilbert-esque record he's got going on.
Yep.
We got to look at the record. Ryder's been winning.
It's like 30-something wins this year.
Like, he's he's kind of upped his game a little bit, apparently.
Oh, God.
Think about this. He had 30-something. Bray Wyatt has 7 this year.
And yet Bray's a bigger deal on TV.
Don't get me started with what they did to the Wyatt family.
Well, don't worry about it. You know, according to BG James, winning and the title mean nothing.
But in the end, Miz is made to look like a joke on national television all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. He puts on his talk show segment and gets knocked out in a single hit. You know, he's made to look, if he has a match, he's made to look like a complete idiot, and he loses the match because he's the Miz. And he's awful. And I was big on the Miz.
We were all big on the Miz.
But again.
You were not here, Mike. Shut up.
Yeah, we're not backdating you yet. Hang on. But. God, it's the Miz.
One of the reasons why we were so pro-Miz back when we were was because he was feuding with Cena.
Not even that. I liked the guy's persona. I thought he had a lot of potential. But again, he's one of those guys who had something and then they threw it away because they didn't know how to keep the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
So Miz is a national joke. You know, at least Ryder keeps his shame on dark matches. So at the very least, you have this amazing, the best 24 hours of Zack Ryder's career. You know, he wins his first Mania match. It's for the Intercontinental title. It's his first time with the belt. His dad is there. He comes and celebrates in the ring. His dad looking like the fucking Terminator. Good God, he is jacked.
Christ, his dad is more stacked than half the roster.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's got fucking pythons.
Yeah. So Monday night, Ryder comes out, the belt, a you deserve this chant goes up. Like, last night he had 100,000 people doing the woo 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 chant.
Yep.
You know, and tonight he's got, you know, however many were in that stadium going, you deserved it. Like,
you deserve this.
You know, we have this sentimental thing. His dad's still in the crowd. His picture with Razor Ramon's on the Titantron. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome little moment and thing to do.
Yep.
And we immediately shit on it because we need Maurice back on TV.
No, we don't. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
This is, I used to think WWE was just tone deaf, you know? It's like, well, we have a plan, so we're not gonna listen to the cheers or anything, we're just gonna follow the plan. No. This is literally, we know what you want, fuck you.
This is completely different from what I was talking about. It took forever for them to finally recognize the hard work and effort that Ryder put in. And even I was tickled pink when he finally fucking did something. And it was at WrestleMania, no less. And then they do this. And it makes that WrestleMania moment absolutely meaningless.
Yeah. This is completely scrubbed it away. It was just dumb luck.
Yep.
You know, and he's already had his rematch on SmackDown. And again, they just scrubbed it away because, hey, Maurice is apparently more important. Got to get her over. Can't get Zach over after 10 years of busting his ass.
Can't get Zach over after 10 years of the crowd and the fans getting him over. This is a complete reverse mirror image of what's going on with Roman Reigns. You realize that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And personally, we know people who are completely, absolutely disgusted with the Roman Reigns holding the title and, you know, it's the Roman Empire and stuff like that. This is how I'm feeling about Zack Ryder.
Mm.
In reverse. Right? So. And it's all, I don't want to put any real stock into this, but the rumor, the thing I hear, it's because John Cena has something against Zack Ryder and it's personal. And because it's John Cena, Zack Ryder's getting shit on. This is the rumor. I cannot substantiate it, yet I just threw it out there for shits and giggles.
No, that rumor is more true about Alex Riley. That's why he's in NXT. Not doing anything.
No. Yeah.
But we should transition to something else, Tim.
Yeah, well, it's just about time for us to do the absolute finale for the all-time greatest WrestleMania moment. But before we go there, I just want to mention really quick and send out condolences to the family of Blackjack Mulligan, who unfortunately passed away earlier this past week. I'm sure everybody has heard about it by now. It's not something that we're putting out there as an afterthought. It's we started late tonight and things got kind of jigged around, and we've actually dropped a lot of what was on our run sheet. just to get the show over with that almost sensible, reasonable hour as closely as we get to it. But, just a quick mention, Blackjack Mulligan passing away. What was that, Thursday or Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday this past week. Personally, I want to send my condolences to his entire family.
Agreed. Damn it, Rob.
Damn you, Rob. Yeah. That being said, I think maybe it's time to finish off the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
So, we are down to the semifinals, the final four of the all-time greatest WrestleMania moment. So we have DX and the NWO appearing during the Triple H vs. Sting match at WrestleMania 31 against the Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair match.
Oh man, this is gonna be tough.
You spoke up, and usually that means you go first.
Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. Fuck you with your DX NWO appear during Triple H vs. Sting. That was just crap and shouldn't have gotten this far anyway. Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. It's a bigger fucking moment.
But we're gonna go to Omega first. Omega.
You get to go first after me.
No, it is Shawn retiring Flair. Like, seeing NWO versus DX. Okay, that's an awesome hit of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It would have been so much better 10, 15 years ago.
Even 5 fucking years ago.
Yeah, it would have been a huge thing if that was capable of being, a match. But we had to take what we got, and what we got was, what we got was two old guys in the ring getting interrupted by a bunch of other older guys.
There you go. Just a way for old Triple H to massage his ego over, WCW.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. Sting getting helped by the NWO. Weird as hell.
Yep.
But you know what? Okay, great moment, yes. I think it deserved to get, maybe one round farther than it should, but I do really like the moment. It does not compare to the emotion of Shawn retiring Rick.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't come close.
All right, so that's one for Shawn Michaels retiring Ric Flair. Mike, you're up.
I really didn't think about it because, yeah, like you said, if it was like 5-10 years ago, you would have enjoyed it. But with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair retiring, Shawn Michaels finally was able to tell a final story. Ric Flair was able to end his chapter of the book of wrestling in WWE. We all know. But I really do have to go with Shawn Michaels retiring Rick.
All right, that's two for Shawn and Flair. Tim?
I think I answered this already.
You did?
Jackass.
Shawn Michaels retiring Rick Flair moves on to the finals. Up next, Icon versus Icon, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, or Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth reunite. Tim?
Reunite and she's so good.
Get out my head.
Tim, you're up first.
All right. Now, guys, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, I can't say Elizabeth, getting married at SummerSlam, that was the thing between the two of them. Them getting back, reuniting, that's the sequel. And sequels are never as good as the original story. Don't bring up Star Wars because the original was a trilogy, not sequels. That's a different thing altogether. That being said, yeah, all right, I'm all for a story that actually works in professional wrestling, and this is the only one that has, mm-hmm. Really, really worked, like, universally. The only one that's come close was Triple H and Stephanie for the McMahon-Helmsley era. That, to me, was comparable, almost. Reuniting, yeah, all great and everything, but Hogan versus The Rock, we spent, 15 minutes talking about this one match to get it to where it is today. And after everything we said about it, You can't take it. You can't take back what you said earlier. Okay. Like Icon versus Icon.
Oh my god.
Let's make this fun for the new guy. Okay, so you've got one of the purest moments in professional wrestling history. You know, something that ran a gambit of emotions because it's, you know, what everyone in that crowd thought was the end of Macho Man's in-ring career. He was running as a heel at the time. And then you have him reunite with Liz. He's a face again. There's people in the crowd openly weeping at this. Because this is like the culmination, you know, in their minds at that time, for the moment, that was the culmination of everything he had ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his moment of redemption there at the end as it was all over. It's an incredibly emotional thing. Hogan and Rock, one of the most electrified crowds I've ever heard in my life. Like, you know, and it, you know, that was more about the audience and what they did for that match than the match itself. Cause it was still Hogan well after his prime. You know, it was a good match for emotion and energy. It's still old, you know, arthritic hip Hogan, but you know, it was, you know, like, just like Savage and Elizabeth, it was how the crowd responded to it and what it meant to them that made the moment so powerful. And I'm going to go back to the one nagging thing that lets me put difference between some of these choices is it should have been Austin and Hogan. Like, I can't, like, personally, I never got past the fact that if you want to do Icon versus Icon, those are the two to do. The Rock was just the active one at the time. You know, he was probably the right choice in the end, but it wasn't the ultimate dream match that a lot of people were expecting at some point. You know, that's the only knock I can give that as far as WrestleMania moments go. Savage and Elizabeth, I don't know, like, that's about as perfect as it gets. I can't think of anything I wanted going differently in that. So my vote is for Savage and Liz.
All right, new guy, break the tie.
Oh, Jesus, we have Icon. We have two great legends in WWE. Well, okay, I'm sorry. And then you have the emotional moment. Rock, Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth, Randy Savage, they reunite. My thing is, both of them told a story, but one of them finished and ended. You have one to reunite something that was lost, and then you have one which is to pass down from generation to generation. I would have to go with the reunion of Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage.
You suck.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because
you
should
be why.
Because I hate to say it, it shouldn't have been a Hogan versus Rock 2. That's what spoiled it for me.
But we're not talking about the aftermath. We're talking about this moment.
Miss Elizabeth reunion.
So as hard and painful that was to do, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth reunite, takes on Shawn Michaels retiring, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Omega.
Fuck. You realize that we boiled it down to the two most emotion-packed fucking moments of all time in WrestleMania.
And isn't that what makes wrestling so great?
Yeah. We boiled it down to the two biggest moments where everything came to an end. We boiled down to the two biggest endings in the stories of two legends. You know, never mind the fact that both continued the story elsewhere. That's another book. You know,
badly,
you know, that is The Hobbit. We're looking at Lord of the Rings right now. God, there's so much to both of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. You know what sucks about the indecisions in the final round? We did it to ourselves.
It's our own guy.
Mike, he inherited all of this, but god damn it. Like, I voted this way. Fuck.
This is what you wanted. I'm giving you what you want.
I know. Omega screwed Omega. I get it.
Have you finished stalling yet?
No, he hasn't. He's still trying to decide.
Get it?
Okay, you know what?
Pick with your heart, Omega. Pick with your heart.
Oh, no.
Sean retires Rick. I hate to do that.
Wow.
Okay. Let's make it clear. Neither of these is a wrong choice. Either one of these could be, you know, could be best WrestleMania moment of all time. You know, and then there's still part of me in my head that goes, can I write in Zack Ryder wins the Intercontinental title? No. God damn it.
He's not your warrior in this one.
Right.
I know. There's so much emotion to both of them. But ultimately, I do feel like Rick's moment has, you know, there's more tragedy to it because, you know, there is no, like, you know, because, you know, there is no continuation. There is no moment of hope that's given to you at the end. And that's important in some storytelling for the career of Ric Flair. How long it went, how much he had been through, how much he had done in the business. You know, Savage was great at that time, but he did not have the legacy yet that Ric Flair had when he faced Shawn. In that sense, it's night and day. Because while that crowd thought that was the end of the Macho Man, just did not have a, didn't, you know, just hadn't been nearly around nearly as long as Rick. There's a lot more build up to the end of Rick's career. And it's one of those things where, you know, the beauty comes from the finale itself. Like, you know, it's like an ending to Romeo and Juliet. Like, I kind of don't want that little moment of, you know, that little moment of hope at the end. You know, cause this is the end, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And that is it. And that is it. And there is something beautiful in that. That this is, you know, this is the window that you leave it at. I know. In this case, I go for the more, you know, the more tragic of the two.
So, Shawn retires Flair. Tim.
Like Dr. Elliot Reed says on Scrubs, frick, frick, double frick. Only people who ever watch Scrubs will get that. Anyway,
I barely get that.
What's that?
I watched Scrubs and it took me a minute to get that.
Oh, okay, well, it has been off the air for 9 years. 8 years, sorry.
Eight, I was just about to say.
Well, technically seven, but I don't count
season
nine.
Oh, Jesus Christ, just make a pick, Tim.
What, you don't like my stalling?
No. Fuck.
Yeah, no, this is a tough one, and I've actually let Omega do the majority of the explanation and the reasons, and it's Shawn retires Rick. Don't get me wrong. Loved Randy and Elizabeth. You know, hell, I was right front and center in my very early 20s when Randy was making his rounds on the circuit. Mm-hmm. When it was Savage Hogan, I was always a Savage fan. Everybody else was a Hogan fan. Mm-hmm. And how can you not love Miss Elizabeth? She was just absolutely incredible, incredible. That said, Miss Elizabeth was never a wrestler. All she was a valet to Randy. There's a bit of a difference. I mean, Rick was such a mentor to so many guys who became superstars after him. Mm-hmm. He was a father figure to guys like Shawn, Triple H. He had some of the greatest rivalries of all time. Sting, Bret, to some extent here and there, Hogan. Just so far reaching. And then to have Shawn Michaels wind up being the guy to retire the man. To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Right.
You can't beat the man. Shawn retires Rick.
New guy?
Eventually you'll get a name, don't worry about it.
Eventually.
It's fine.
I like being called new guy.
No, I don't. But right. I gotta go with it for now.
Okay.
Savage. That's my story and I'm sticking with it.
I didn't catch that. What was it?
My story and I'm sticking with it.
No, I meant what was your pick?
My pick was Liz and Savage.
Okay.
So you're wrong, but okay.
There you go. So the all-time greatest WrestleMania moment in the opinion of WTR Sunday Night, is Shawn Michaels retiring the Nature Boy and Ric Flair. Now, before we get to quick hits, we have an announcement about the next all-time greatest.
Yeah, we spent, I don't know how long, it was a long time. I mean, hot coffee, ice packs on our heads involved a whole bit. And I tell you, we stayed up until 6, 7 p.m. at night. Coming up with this. It's a huge deal. It's not just...
It's a big deal for Tim. That's like 2 hours after curfew at the old folks' home.
Thanks for the shot, bitch. Anyway, this is not what I'm talking about. And as a matter of fact, just because I got a shot taken at me and it just hurt my feelings, I'm going to let Rock explain exactly what we're doing with the all-time greatest now.
So we're doing the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. I know, shocking. That's where we're going with this one. But we have a little twist this time around. We have the 32 greatest SummerSlam moments, but we're going to do a little bit more interaction.
Can we get interactive with the listeners?
That's what I was just saying. Anyway.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I have a great idea, but go ahead.
Starting Monday on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, we'll be running a poll for the week's matchups. So you can get a vote in deciding the all-time greatest. That's twitter.com/wildtalkradio. Every Monday, the match up will be on there for you to vote, and you'll be one of the panelists in the vote.
Your vote actually counts. All-time greatest. As a listener, your vote actually counts. It's not just us. You guys might be the tiebreaker.
It could.
Yeah. Now, the poll's going to be on Twitter. A lot of people that listen might not have Twitter. What are they going to do, Sir Rockin?
Sign up to Twitter.com, and that's where you can vote on the poll.
Yeah, there you go. Another thing to do is maybe check out Facebook.
No, Twitter. Twitter, because we're using their polling system, Twitter. Facebook doesn't have a polling system. Twitter does. Okay, sign up for Twitter. You can be a part of it. It's a Twitter poll. It's a new technology, Tim. It's Twitter. It's 2016.
I've got 5 Twitter accounts. Don't talk to me about Twitter. There are people I know who don't have Twitter, will never be on Twitter. They're not going to get a chance to
vote.
Well,
that's their... Well, then nothing's changed. If they want to vote,
to be all interactive and shit. You know, here's the thing. Is the Wild Talk Radio Twitter connected to the Wild Talk Radio Facebook?
Again, Tim, the polling only shows up on the Twitter.
I'm just asking.
The link will then be put on from, if they click the link from Facebook, it'll take you to Twitter.
So the idea here is, genius people, shut up, quit bitching, and don't be so lazy. Go to Twitter.com and make a Twitter handle, at whatever. Just sign up for a Twitter account. You don't need to do much of anything except follow me. Wild Talk Radio, Rust Talk Radio, The Omega, even Heartbreak Mike's on Twitter. Just follow us, and we'll all wind up following each other, and we'll just grow a great, big, beautiful Twitter family. It doesn't cost you anything. What's your problem?
Or back to the same old, and you don't have the vote. But if you would like to vote, Twitter will be your way to do it. It's a Twitter poll. There you go. It's a new step in the all-time greatest. With that, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
So, in the old days, like 3 weeks ago, Omega would go last. This week, Omega gets to go first.
Joy?
So, Omega, if you could choose between true love and free pizza, what pizza would you order?
What?
You get no choice.
You heard me?
Pepperoni.
Why pepperoni?
Because pepperoni is love.
Okay. Tim, would you rather be without elbows or be without knees?
That's real fucking weird question.
I know.
That's next to impossible to answer.
But a gun is to your head. Which one?
Would I rather be without elbows or without knees? Hang on a second. Okay, I can still stand up and sit down without knees, but if I need my elbows to do so. I need my elbows, bitch.
Okay. So, Mike, if you were a piece of fruit, what type of fruit would you be and why?
Don't say pineapple.
This is about to be real stereotypical.
Oh, don't say watermelon.
I really was. I'm not going to lie. I would have to be an orange for the simple fact of orange. It allows me to... I make juice. I got the juice.
You can wear pants to say juicy across your... Oh, no, you didn't.
Anyway, moving on from that one. Omega, would you rather have peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth forever or have, you know, those cheesy puff orange fingers for the rest of your life?
Probably the fingers. I can wear gloves. I can compensate for that, but peanut butter in my mouth. I want to be able to taste things other than peanut butter. Like pepperoni.
Hey, try smearing some peanut butter on your pepperoni.
No.
Was that it?
No. Pepperoni is love. Pepperoni with peanut butter is hate.
So Tim,
at the milk.
Tim, was that a tip from the man kitchen?
Oh, fuck no. That was innuendo that you guys all missed, except for Mike. He was snickering in the background.
I just wanted to get a plug in for the Man Kitchen book.
I know. Thank you very much for that. The cookbook is still available from the Man Kitchen. Just get in touch with me to find out how you can get a copy of it. Yes, Mike, you can have a copy of the Man Kitchen cookbook.
Excellent.
It'll cost you.
It's
only $15 Canadian.
Anyway, Tim, would you rather have a random person decide what you wear or what you eat?
Nobody tells me what I eat.
So even if you had to walk around in a dinosaur costume for the rest of your life, you'd be okay?
As long as it's not Barney.
It's Barney.
Fuck you. You're not a random person telling me what to wear. Because if I had a random person telling me what I've been married, okay? Not a big deal. You're not going to the store in that shirt, are you? Shut up, bitch.
Yes, he is. Mike, if you were a sex toy, what sex toy would you be and why?
Next question.
You can't do that. No, answer.
We've all been here. We've all been here.
Have we? All right.
That's not allowed. We can't do it other than you. You're the new guy, especially. You get the worst questions, or at least you should.
If I gotta be any sex toy,
peanut butter on a sex toy, what color would you be? Yeah, shut up.
I would actually be a flogger. But the simple fact is that just whipping, which sounds so wrong right now. But yes, a flogger. If I had to be a sex toy, I'd be a flogger.
I don't need the text messages I'm going to be getting in about 3 or 2.
Anyway, that's Quick Hits.
That's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Mike, you did good enough. Come back next week.
What?
Yep, you did good enough. You can come back next week.
Yes, I'll be here early.
There you go. Yeah, don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's right after wrestling. I know you hate when I say that, so I'm never going to stop. That's right, it's the Raw Post Show.
No, it's 10 p.m. Eastern's Raw Post Show. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw from Hollywood. Now, the question is, can Dr. Phil fix Roman Reigns? Find out this Monday on the Raw Post Show.
And how does that make you feel? Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward and her Rack.
It's Thursday night, this is The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk all the news and notes you could possibly handle. The latest updates on hashtag blame Brent, because he likes to injure people. So we'll talk all about it. Plus a couple of discussions. You never know what happens on The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com. Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 5, Episode 12, now available. Episode 13 will be available most likely on Wednesday.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, Saturday nights at midnight-ish. Another edition of CB Radio.
We talked the weird, the wacky, the unusual, all the strange stories you could possibly handle, all the celebrity death because it's hashtag blame Rob, and you never know what else we'll talk about. We'll talk video games, movies, etc., etc., even maybe some hockey. You never know. It's CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight-ish. At CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, CBRadioLive.com. Again, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, back to our regularly scheduled time of 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Another edition of WTR Sunday night, talking hockey, because I'll be letting you know whether or not my son won the gold medal, because his team, as of thanks to the game they played today, his team will be playing for the gold medal next Sunday. Go, Owen's team, go.
Stealing my lines.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rock, say it.
No, I'm good.
All right, go Vultures, go. That's my that's the name of my son's hockey team. So, yeah, their game is 5 o'clock Mountain Time. If you're in the Calgary area, come and cheer on my son Owen to victory as he shuts out the other team. I can say that now because I'm not playing. I can't say the S word during the game. That being said, follow me on the Twitter machines, not once but twice. That's right, two separate accounts. You can follow me at Flames Forums, but also follow me at Man Kitchen TV. Speaking about Man Kitchen TV, check me out on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com/MenChefs and you'll find it. That easy. Also on Facebook, follow the Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Omega.
Mm-hmm.
You're on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube, and you're over there, and you've got an Instagram account, and you do Snapchat and everything else. Tell everybody.
You said the Instagram and Snapchat?
Huh? What?
What? Huh?
That's where Brent and him get busy. You're not supposed to bring that up.
Whoa. Yeah, you want to know what's going on? Just tune in to CB Radio sometime.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yes, as Tim stated, I'm pretty much anywhere you can find the internet. I am TJ Omega over on Twitter. I am TJ Omega on YouTube. And I am TJ Omega on TJOmega.org. But if you're the Facebook type, get on Twitter. We already had this discussion earlier in this show. But if you are the Facebook type, I am TJ Reviews over there. And you tune into my stuff because I will have new content out every single weekday as I get into all kinds of geek stuff.
He gets 3 minutes of sleep a day, kids, and that's all because he spends his downtime editing video just for you to check it out.
Pretty much. It's not far off.
It is what he does. It really, nope. Really is.
No word of a lie. As soon as we're off for Skype call tonight, he's going to get behind the computer and edit video, and he'll have a glass of cookies and milk to go with it.
A glass of cookies is what I have every time I edit.
It turns into a glass. Because you bite stuff when you dunk it in the milk.
Mike, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, anybody wants to get in contact with me, hopefully, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, just add me on Twitter, the WTR Oreo. Yes, that's the WTR Oreo. Add me on Twitter. I'll follow you. I'm going to try and be more active on my Twitter, so yes, join me.
Wow, that's it? Wow. Like to have
it's a work in progress at the WTR Oreo.
I'm just saying, he has one plug. I have like 70.
I know. And then I've got like 35, but Omega's got you beat, and he's got me beat. He's at like 210.
Mike has one.
And Mike's got one. Mike, you need to step up your game, boy.
The perks of being the new guy.
There you go, yeah. That being said, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget... even more interactivity with our audience with the new poll coming out starting Monday for the all-time greatest. That being said, have a great week. Catch you next Sunday.